Try that again. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. How good it is to enter God's house with praise this morning and give thanks for all that God has done. As we come this morning, the announcements were on the screen, and as we noted last week, it's a busy time of year, and lots of things are happening. First of all, a thank you to everyone who helped with the WE event on Friday and made it the success that it was. It was a fun time, I think. And my understanding is that if you ever have Bible questions, go to Ann Gibb. She apparently aced some of that stuff on Friday night. So congratulations to Ann. But thank you to the Faith and Nurture team who were the driving force behind the event, to Bev Hope, who baked us cookies, because everything is better with a cookie. So a thank you to Bev, and to Kyung Mai, who dropped by to help with the cleanup as she was doing some hockey drop-offs. So it was a wonderful event, and we look forward to another in the future. There is a sheet on a table somewhere. If you didn't get the bulletin insert last week with the events of the things that are going on through the Advent season, we put some spares on the tables at the back, so you can grab one. So please do take that and maybe stick it on your bulletin board or refrigerator at home so you can keep track of all the things that are going on. A reminder that December 17th, in 2 weeks' time, we will be doing, it'll be many things. It'll be the pageant, it will be our Ugly Sweater Sunday, but it will also be our White Gift Sunday. And again, this year, we will be receiving both food items for Agape and personal care items for Baldwin House, which is our local shelter for women and children. And so anything that might help them as they come looking for aid would be greatly appreciated. And then on the evening of December 17th, we will be hosting a community carol service, and all are invited to come and celebrate the birth of Christ in story and in song. Invite your friends, your neighbors, we kind of jokingly were saying during this week that everybody likes to sing all the Christmas music, and this is one more opportunity to sing the carols. This morning, we do celebrate the service of communion here in the sanctuary, and for those who are joining us on the live stream, if you wish to join us by partaking of a piece of bread or something similar and something to drink. Most people don't keep grape juice in their homes, but if you have that, that's fine. Some people have gotten really snooty. They like to stay home because their wine is better. So if you have a bottle of wine, that is fine too, to have a little bit. Or any beverage will suffice for the celebration. If you require a pre-filled cup because you're a little bit more concerned about contact and touch transfer, the pre-filled cups are at the back this morning. They aren't on the trays as we have moved back to the traditional bread tray and wine tray. So there are still a few of the pre-filled cups on the table at the back of the church. And finally, we mark this week the passing of Jack McMartin, a member of our congregation, and the funeral services will be from St. John's here on Friday, December 8th at 11 a.m., so do make note of those times. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screen. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us glorify the Lord.
And rejoice in God our Savior.
For the Mighty One has done great things for us.
And holy is his name.
Let us pray. Eternal God of power and grace, who comes to us in surprising ways, in angel appearances, in defeat of enemies, in resurrection from the dead. Show us the face of Emmanuel in our time. Bring us from fear to awe, we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 118 in the Book of Praise. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, hymn 118. Please be seated. As we come, we are mindful of all those things that separate us from neighbors and from God. And so we come with a spirit of confession and reconciliation. The prayer of confession for this morning is responsive and will appear before you on the screen. You are asked to respond with those portions that are indicated all. Let us pray. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel. You call us each by name and invite us to follow you. But we, like sheep, do not heed your voice. We stray from your path. Now we call upon your name. Save us from all that ensnares our lives.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
You claim us for service and assure us that we have nothing to fear. But we are timid disciples who discount dreams and discredit messengers. For we do not believe you can use a flock like us to usher in your reign.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that our faith may be made strong.
You come among us to enfold us with your love. As we await the babe of Bethlehem, give us the steadfast faith of Joseph and the expectant hope of Mary, that we too may come in wonder to worship the newborn King. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that our trust may be renewed. Amen. Friends, once we were no better than slaves, enslaved by the elemental spirits of this world. But through Christ, we have been redeemed and welcomed into the house of God. The good news is that in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The prophets call and the psalmist sings to announce that hope comes from God.
Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. We shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
The world cries for justice and transformation. Advent summons us to watch, to wait, and to hope. In the destruction of the current order is the promise of a new order beyond our imagination. Signs of hope are all around us if we have the patience to wait and to see them.
Holy are you, source of all new life among us.
Jesus Christ comes as a hope of the world.
We join with all creation and lift our hearts in joyful praise. We light this Christ candle, bear witness to hope. You gonna do the lighting?
Our first reading comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 7, reading verses 10 to 15. Let us hear the word of God. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good." Our second reading comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 80, reading verses 1 to 7 and 17 to 19. This reading is responsive, and so I invite you to join me when the screens indicate all. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim,
shine forth for Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh.
Stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself.
Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Our third reading comes from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4, reading verses 3 to 7. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Let us join our voices together in singing hymn number 114, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. The words will appear before you on the screens.
Right now, I am very alone. At first, I felt a little skeptical, like Sarah when the angel told Abraham she would have a baby, wondered what on earth was going on. A girl 13 should answer back to an angel? I had to admit, I was a bit proud of having been chosen by God for such a special task, for all of maybe 5 minutes. Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it happen to me just as you say. Then I told my mother, I have seen an angel. He had a message for me. Mother was more concerned with preparing dinner for the men. Mary, she said, bring me some oil, bring the flour. She was too busy then to hear about an angel's message. She did stop to listen when I told her about the baby. Mother, it is not going to be Joseph's baby. And that's when I began to realize that while I might be blessed among women, it was a very mixed blessing. My mother lives in disgrace. My father wants to know who the father is. I'll beat him within an inch of his life, he screams.
And our gospel lesson, taken from the gospel according to Matthew, reading Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Let us listen for God's word to his people as it is given in the gospel of Matthew, beginning at the first chapter and the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means "God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had been born. The child had been born, and he named him Jesus. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For any couple, the news that they are about to have a child is fraught with emotion. There is joy and excitement as they prepare for a new addition to the family, but there's also anxiety and fear. Will the child be healthy? Will the parents be up to the challenge of parenting? It seems a little silly, perhaps, now, but I remember when each of our children were born, the first thing I did was sort of a rudimentary kind of inventory. I counted fingers and toes. Or I tried to, because amidst all the hustle and bustle of a labor delivery suite, when a child has just been born, it's really hard to count to 10, at least for me as a new father. I wasn't concerned about whether it was a boy or a girl. That would just sort itself out. Only that they were healthy. And for me, 10 digits, 10 fingers, 10 toes, that was the sign. As we begin our Advent journey this year, we are confronted with the anxiety faced by Mary as an expectant mother and Joseph, her betrothed. Mary was a young teen, probably not much more than 13 years old when all of this happened, when she became aware of her pregnancy. And in that patrilineal society in which she lived, the paternity of a child was paramount. After all, the society in which Mary and Joseph and all those that they knew lived believed that in a very real way, the father and the father's family line lived on through the child. So paternity was important. We see that time and again in other places in Scripture, don't we? When we are confronted by the deviation from the expectations that sometimes happens in Scripture, when younger brothers usurp the older brothers. The story of Cain versus Abel. Part of the problem there is Cain is the older, Abel is the younger. Esau and Jacob, the younger brother who steals the birthright. Joseph, the youngest of all of Israel's sons and his brothers. David, the youngest of Jesse's sons, chosen by God over all of his brothers. And into the New Testament, stories like the story of the prodigal son have this reversal that jars at the rules of society that the younger should get the birthright. In all of these stories, the key point of conflict is this transgression of the law of primogeniture. And here in the story of Mary and Joseph, the crisis is even more fundamental than that. Not just the identity of the father in the larger society, but the knowledge of Joseph that Joseph is not. in verse 19 of the gospel reading, that is identified for us. Matthew records, her husband Joseph being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. It's difficult for us to hear with our 21st century eyes those words that perhaps a young woman with a child out of wedlock should be sent away. But to Joseph, in the time when he lived, such an action was more than just to avoid the public shame and the clucking tongues. It was for the well-ordering of society that these things should happen. But before Joseph could even bring about this plan or think about it very much, Matthew tells us an angel intervenes and reveals to Matthew God's divine plan. Something bigger is going on in this story. Bigger than Joseph's pride or even the expectations of Joseph's ancient society. God is engaged in the task of working out the redemption of the world. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And throughout each week in Advent, we will hear from Mary as she moves from anxiety to relinquishment to joy and even reflection for the wonder that God has done. Each week we will have a Mary appear before us and share her tale. And we thank Libby for being the first of the Marys this morning. But we will hear how God in Christ has broken into human history and undone all of the structures of power and propriety, the social norms, and even the faith expectations of the people of God, so that a Messiah who is different might be born. The people of God, you will recall, expected a Messiah who would come to be a great king and a great general. But this Messiah who comes is the one who reveals God's love to us in this simple family of a carpenter and his young wife, in acts of obedience, and ultimately a child born in a manger. And the outcome of this great divine plan is no less surprising. As Paul writes to the church in his letter to the Galatians that we heard this morning, that the law was given because we, like wayward children, little better than slaves, could not live righteous lives. So the law is given as a fence, something that will hem us in behind and before and set limits to our lives. And yet, any farmer would know fences are transgressible. Earlier this week, there was a picture from Kitchener of a pig laying in the middle of Highway 8. Agricultural animals making a break for it. Fences are transgressible. They can't always hold us in the way we wish that they would. The law by itself does not, cannot make us righteous and worthy of our inheritance of faith to eternal life. It only serves to be for us that enclosure that tells us when we are getting close to the boundary line. So God sends Jesus Christ, fully divine and yet fully human, born into this human family, to reveal to us the love of God, that we might be adopted into God's family and made heirs to the eternal life that God has in store for all of us, if we would but believe and put our trust in Christ and in Him alone. May God's Spirit, then, dwell within us and hold us close to Christ. May we be given minds to comprehend the great mystery of our faith, and may we acknowledge with all of our hearts that we have been knit into the household of God and formed together as Christ's church, where we are united, one in body, one in spirit, with God and with each other. As Paul says to the Galatians, may we cry out, Abba, Father, and rejoice that we have become the heirs of the kingdom of God, and know that the promises are ours because Christ has come and we have been redeemed. Thanks be to God. Amen. All that we have is the Lord's. All that we may become and receive is in God's hands. For the sake of the joy that is ours when our bonds grow deep with others, let us give generously for the well-being of the world. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings.
Oh my God.
Following the prayer of dedication, I would ask you to remain standing that we might say together the Nicene Creed. Let us pray. Holy God, you bless us with many gifts. You retrieve us from despair and fear. You visit us with surprising proclamations, and you intend for us good things. We thank you for your steadfast love, for sending signs of assurance, and for the gift of faith. Use our gifts to bring comfort and justice to those in need, reforming the ways of our world for the sake of the new life given in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now, with the church in all time in place, we say together the creed as it is presented before us on the screen, a testimony of all that we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, this is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come, not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come, not because any goodness in you gives you the right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come, because you love the Lord a little and seek to love him more. Come, because Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. Lift up your hearts and minds above your cares and fears, and let this bread and this cup be for you a token and pledge of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, all meant for you if you receive them in humble faith. Our hymn is number 542 in the Book of Praise, "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silent," number 542. Please be seated. We join our voices together in prayer, in the great prayer of thanksgiving. The prayer of thanksgiving has responses which will appear before you on the screens or can be found in the book of praise at number 564. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly our duty and delight to give you thanks and praise and to worship you in every place where your glory abides. Through the words of the prophets, you promised your people the Redeemer and gave hope for the day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We rejoice that in Jesus Christ, your Son, the Savior, has come, and that he will come again in power and glory to make all things new. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly choirs and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent your only begotten, in whom your fullness dwells, to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. Revealing your love, Jesus taught those who would hear him, healed those who believed him, received all who sought him, and lifted the burden of their sin. We glorify you for your great power and love at work in Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new people by water and the Spirit. Great is the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ for us, send us out that we may be Christ for the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, most gracious God, now and forevermore. Hear us as we pray now in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take and eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This do in remembrance of him. In the same manner, Christ took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." This cup is the new covenant sealed in the blood of Christ. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. God of hope, we give you thanks that you have given us this foretaste of the justice, righteousness, and peace of your promised new kingdom. Strengthen us with this heavenly food as we seek to serve your holy realm. Lead us to live in joyful expectation of the coming again in glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 121 in the Book of Praise. Long ago, prophets knew, number 121. In the Book of Praise. And now let us go forth and prepare the way of the Lord. And may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and the power of the Holy Spirit sustain you until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.